Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is cyber station, USA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Welcome back, everyone, to It's Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, only on CyberStationUSA.com. Now, join me on the line, this man here. Well, a lot of big things going on. We're talking Bellator, we're talking MMA, and, well, last time out during Bellator 232, he talked the talk and he walked the walk. He backed it up, and, well, now there's talk of possible Bellator contract. I give you, once again, one of the stars of his past Bellator weekend. I give you, it's Yoenel Lugo. Yoenel, let's talk about the big. Let's talk about just everything here. You came into this. You basically grabbed every media member you could get. You told us how you're going to win this fight. How are you going to, you know, basically take it to him? You were going to outclass him, outbox him, outfight him. You backed it up. How nice is that when you not just tell us what you're going to do, but you back it up, make all of us go, okay, this kid has something here. Let's talk about the Duma fight leading up. As you said, he beat Mike Kimble because, as you said, he's a patient fighter. He lets you come to you. He figures it out. He sees what he can do, and he capitalizes on mistakes. What he did with Kimble when he cut him in the rear naked in a triangle choke. That's what he's done in previous fights, whether it's his first fight, his fourth fight. You make a mistake, he's going to capitalize. How tough was that for you, that 15 minutes where you're just sitting there, and each moment you go, okay, I got to stay focused. I got to stay focused when, as you said, when the crowd is getting on you, when everybody's cheering, you want to go for the knockout. You want to go for the highlight reel knee. You want to do something spectacular. How happy were you and your team that you showed composure, that you didn't just act like a young kid, that you showed, all right, I'm going to work with what I have and work with what he's going to give me?
Yeah, man, that's something that, for me, it's very important, and I'm always teaching my friends, you know, I'm always saying the number one most important thing in MMA is composure. And when I was going against him, I knew he was a composed guy, and I know he doesn't capitalize on mistakes. That's how I knew off rip, like from the beginning, that this is a good matchup, because he likes to capitalize on mistakes. And I said it before we fought, I said, I don't make mistakes. But I thought, this is going to be a great matchup, so I'm not going to make mistakes. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to school, I'm going to pick him apart, I'm going to stay patient, and I'm going to get the victory. That's what I did. I stayed composed. I didn't let anything catch me, you know. Like, there was a point where I was hitting into the body, and everyone was like, why don't you just keep on swinging? And I'm like, well, that's dangerous. Like, if you keep swinging, you can swing back and knock you out, you know. You got to check your aim to make sure everything's all right. You can't just stay in the fire the whole time, you know. I'm too cautious. I'm like a cat. So that's why I fight the way I do.
One of the things I also was impressed with was, for this fight, it's fundamentals. It's, you know, moving from side to side, not going straight back where he can take you down. It's changing stances to throw him off so he can't just time a single leg or a double leg. But he, you know, how much of this for his fight was about just, you know, the boring stuff? Everybody says, oh yeah, I worked on my jiu-jitsu, or oh yeah, I worked on my striking, or oh yeah, I worked on my wrestling. How much of this fight was about just defensive positioning, footwork, basically keeping him off, throwing him off so that he couldn't get rhythm, so that you were always, you know, in motion, you're always doing the small stuff, and he's never able to just set his feet, plant, and either attack you with a takedown or attack you with a combination or, you know, finding a way to score because he just is not sure what you're going to do or where you're going to be.
Well, two things. First, I'm gonna say, when it comes to footwork and lateral motion and side-to-side motion, that's something that I've been working for years since I first started training when I was 14 and 15. That came naturally. I was always somebody who moved his feet well, and I always move side-to-side. If you watch any of my fights, I'm constantly moving. I don't like to move back. I move side-to-side. And I can fight either stance. There's fights where I fight only orthodox, and there's fights where I fight only southpaw. Just the first fight where I said, you know what, I really don't care what stance I'm in. I'm not even going to worry about the stance. I'm just going to let it flow naturally. So all that out there wasn't even something that was game planned or drilled or like, oh, this is what you have to do. That was just natural because that's what I work on and what I've been doing for years. Secondly, everyone, you asked about how, like, how much of this was about, like, the boring stuff and the same thing. Well, to me, what I find most important in MMA, something that I think everyone overlooks, is that most people think it's about learning how to throw a hook and then go in there and throw a hook. It's about learning how to do an armbar and then go in there and do an armbar. For me, I know that anyone can do a hook. Anybody can throw a cross. Anybody can do an armbar and learn basic jiu-jitsu moves. My mother can learn basic jiu-jitsu. It's all about application. So for me, what I find most important is figuring out what is the best way to use a move. When is the best time to use a move? How should I use a move? Where should I use a move? So for me, it's all about application. And so in this fight, I was just really trying to figure out when should I hit him or how should I hit him. And so I'm still not a perfect fighter, but my goal is to become a perfect fighter. So each fight that you see me fight, I'll be absorbing all the information that I can from each fight because this is not like it's not like in days of boxing where you have 100, 200 amateur fights. Us MMA fighters, we barely have any amateur fights. You know, I only have 6 amateur fights, and now I'm 3-0. So I barely have any amateur experience, so I have to download all the data I can possibly download. And so the next time you see me get in the ring, I'm going to do that much better.
We're going to go back to this in a bit in the Bellator career, but first, let's ask a big question. Like, why MMA? Why was this something that you get into a sport where you are cutting weight, starving yourself, putting your body through a grind? Because let's face it, every training camp, every day at training, you know, you're getting bumps, bruises, mat burns, nicks, just something here and there. You sacrifice any sort of freedom because you have to. It's almost like the military where you have a strict regiment. What made you love this sport? Like, what made you fall in love to the point where, as you said, you're doing this when there's no money coming in? It's not like you get, you know, baseball or even basketball where there's D leagues, there's minor leagues. You're getting paid more than most people. You get paid nothing for MMA. So what made you fall in love with this?
Oh, that's an easy one. The thing is that when I was younger, when I first started training, I figured out very quickly that I was gifted at this, man. As a kid and as a teenager, growing up, I was always wrestling around with my friends, and I was always the dominant one whenever we wrestled around and play fight. I was always dominant. And then when I went to the gym, my first day there, I was grappling people, and I felt like I was doing a good job. It was my first day ever training. And I knew, like, after my first grappling tournament, it was so easy to me that I was gifted at this. So for me, it was more, not as much of a passion as it was, I was gifted. And because I was gifted, I was like, you know what, if God gave me this gift, I may as well utilize it and train it and become the best I could possibly be with the gift that I was gifted. So I'm literally training today for two reasons, because I'm gifted at it and because I've already put so much work into it. So all the pain and all the time that I spent putting myself in torture, training and cutting weight and all this stuff, I feel like I owe it to that person, the person that went through all that stuff,
to make it somewhere one day, to pay myself back, and become gifted. So, let's face it, this sport, though, doesn't pay the bills. It's not like right now, as you said, you're making lots of money. In fact, there's guys I talked to who, it flat out, you know, Jorgon De Castro of UFC fame right now, he's still working at a Sears doing furniture. You have guys who are either working tires at BJ's, who are working 2 jobs, sometimes 3 jobs. What about you? Like, for you, how do you pay the bills when right now, there's not, as you said, there's not a lot of money coming in. It's not like there's six figures, seven figures, even high five figures. Right now, it's just whatever they can scrap ahead, they'll throw you. So for you, what do you do to keep the lights on, to pay, you know, to put food on the table and put, you know, clothes on your back? How tough is that for you when, as you said, there's probably days when you feel like you're losing part of yourself, whether it's the training, whether it's the truck drive, because as you said, you're trying to balance four different jobs, a father, a husband, truck driver, MMA fighter. How do you handle it? I mean, how do you find time so that one doesn't suffer from the other, so that, you know, you're not all of a sudden going weeks or days and realizing, oh crap, I have no idea what happened with my daughters. Oh crap, I have no idea what happened, you know, with my wife's day. I mean, how do you try to find time so that you have time for almost everybody, so that at least you, or at least the more important things in your life?
Well, I'll say, like, so during the week, I work all day, and then at work, I'm studying my fighting and everything like that while I work, because I have a lot of free time. Then I go to the gym, I train from 6 to 9, and when I get out, I just go home and spend time with my family, you know, 2 hours, 9 to 11 around there. I spend with my family. And then on the weekends, I always take my whole family out to eat dinner once on the weekend. And we'll watch a movie. We always have, like, family dates, basically, at least once or twice a weekend. So on the weekends, I just give my time to them. And during the week, I spend most of it working and training. And it does, things do suffer, you know, because it's just, I'm very busy. So, you know, a lot of times my wife does complain, like, oh, you know, you don't give me any time, you know. And keep in mind, I have friends, too, that I want to hang out with. So when I want to go hang out with my friends, she's complaining. So it's definitely, you know, rough, tough lifestyle, but it'll all be worth it one day, you know, when I'm in a better spot and I have money to provide for my family, man.
Last couple questions, I'll let you go. Getting back to Bellator fight. How much did we not know about what was going through mine? Because as you said, it's for most fighters, it's, you know, it's like a duck, in, you know, on the water. On the top, everything looks calm. They're just floating around like nothing's bad is happening. Underneath, the legs are going 100,000 miles per minute, and they're just moving as quickly as possible. For yourself, how much of, you know, you were showing to us mass, you know, the worries of, oh crap, I'm running out of money. Oh crap, you know, but there's no guarantee here. Oh, you know, I got to win this fight. I got to show, you know, big things here. I need to finish here. I mean, how tough was that, keeping all that bottled in and just, you know, keeping those feelings pushed down so that you could focus on the fight and not just make a mistake because you're going, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, there's so much money. I need this fight. I need this contract. And, you know, the emotion takes over from the logic.
Oh, yeah. I feel I don't really
So where does everything stand right now? Going forward, I know that Bellator was happy with the performance. I know that, as you said, you have people in your corner who are pushing this. When do you fight next? And what is the status of Bellator? What is the business? What is going on between you, your business team, and Bellator in terms of your future?
Well, right now, we don't know exactly what's going to happen because they haven't reached out to me, to be honest. I'm working with a big-time management company. I'm not going to say who exactly yet until I sign with them officially. But we're in conversation right now with a big management company. And from there, we're going to have our management company is going to reach out to Bellator and see if we can get a deal. And then if I can get a deal, I want to get back in there as soon as possible. I keep assigning a bunch of guys with fans in my division. They just signed Sergio Pettis, and they signed a couple other guys that are pretty high up there.
Yoenel Luga, ladies and gentlemen, once again, he is primed, coming off a big win, and well, the future is bright for this young man. Yoenel, before I let you go, where can the fans check you out at? Where is the Twitter page, Instagram, the website? Where can the fans hit you up at? Yoenel Luga, ladies and gentlemen, once again, as I said, undefeated right now in the pro ranks, and a lot of big things are happening for this young man. We come back, though, we got a whole lot more only on Last Call. Last Call, not the alcohol, only on LastCallRadioShow.com.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.